Hey, everybody. Welcome to the A1 Auto Body Podcast with your host, Nick Sands. I'm very excited for today's guest. I'm speaking with Carissa Kennedy. Carissa has recently started her journey into learning auto body and being a professional auto body tech. I'm very excited to kind of figure out what her experience is like. Just starting out, it's been a long time since I've started out. So I'm very excited to hear what she thinks about the whole thing. How's it going today, Carissa?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
That's good.
I'm super excited to have you on because I feel like, and we were talking a little bit about this yesterday,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of people, we have a lot of people in our industry who talk about the need to get more people into the industry. You know, the industry is effectively dying. We have the average age of a body tech is about 55 years old right now. So that's, pretty old for that to be the average age, you know.
Definitely.
We're getting a lot of talk about, you know, how to get people into the trades, how to get people into doing bodywork specifically and painting. But the people talking about it are all old people like me, right? We don't have, we're not asking people.
Yeah. Or anything. I don't mean to cut you off or anything, but I just want to add to that a little bit. Honestly, if for people our age, it's not always entertaining, if you want to say, but it's a lot of working, and people our age, if they were to just put their artwork out there on cars, there'd probably be a lot more text out there our age, but people don't find it interesting because it's older generation teaching, you know. the older the wiser, you know, whatever they say, wiser the better, I guess. But in school anyway, I have a lot of older instructors, and I've learned from probably some pretty good instructors. I have a few. I don't want to name them because they're pretty good instructors though. My first instructor in my CRRT class, he was awesome. He always helped us out with our tests and gave us study guides and stuff like that. But there are instructors out there that don't give study guides, but they rather talk to you about it repeatedly so it clicks in your head rather than something on a piece of paper. So it's interesting seeing instructors ways of teaching, but it's a lot of hands-on work too. You have to keep that in mind too.
What was that teacher's name?
My first one was Mr. Scott, and he was great, fantastic. And another good one I liked was Mr. C. But I'm probably going to meet a lot more instructors along the road. I've only been in class for a few months now. Only been to 4 different classes.
Mr. Scott and Mr. C, keep up the good work out there. We need people like you.
Definitely.
What was it that got you into auto body in the first place?
So when I was introduced to auto body, in school I had to do a paper for this class. It was a speech class, and they asked, what do you want to do as a career? And I was like, oh, Lord. I knew what I want to do, but I kind of looked at what I was doing at work because I liked working, and I like working a lot. Working keeps you busy, keeps your mind busy, and you're always doing things. But I don't know. When I work personally, if I don't go home, ready for the shower, eat, and go to bed and tackle it the next day, it's not really worth work, you know. But I was working at ProClean in Rock Island and Davenport, Iowa, Rock Island, Illinois, and Davenport, Iowa. It's a car wash. Yeah, it's 2 different locations. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's 2 different locations. I thought it was just one really long name for a place.
No. One was in Illinois, Rock Island, and it's called ProClean. And then there's another one in Davenport called ProClean. And then their company bought out a bunch of other car washes, like Water Park. I don't know if you've ever heard of Water Park. But yeah, throughout the Quad Cities where I'm from, back at home. But basically just based it off working there and what I possibly could see myself doing. Like, well, being a detailer isn't exactly ideal. But I looked more in depth into cars and like the outside of cars, not so much what's inside of the car, but the paint and the, you know, we had a really nice cars come through, but nothing like the cars I've seen in Texas compared to Iowa. So it was a rare chance we saw a Lamborghini or a Tesla. So it was like, oh my God, that's the car.
How come? Yeah. So you were living in Iowa at the time that you kind of decided to do this?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Illinois, and then I kind of moved around a lot, and then I moved to Iowa growing up as a kid with my mom. And my dad was in my life, but he's not anymore. But growing up, there was a lot of moving around throughout the Quad Cities, and then once I became 18, I got to decide, like, well, I have my own vehicle, and I'm going to go to what high school I go to. So I went to a lot of schools. I went to two different high schools, and that was an experience. I met a lot of people throughout the Quad Cities area, but I got a lot of lifelong friends, which is really hard to keep up on when you now live in Texas. I don't really have a lot of friends here in Texas, but the ones that I do have are pretty cool.
Did you feel like when you were in high school that doing auto body or any of the trades, did you feel like those were encouraged or that those were an option for you?
In high school, no, not at all.
Did you feel like they were discouraged, or was it just something that wasn't really talked about?
UTI did come to my school. That's the whole reason why I was ever introduced to UTI, and then I just looked more in depth into UTI after a really bad patch in my life this past year, 2010. Let's not talk about that year. That year sucks.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that you had to go through a rough patch.
Hey, you know, I don't know if you're religious or not, or if anybody else that will listen to this podcast is, but I do know that God does put you in some predicaments that he knows you can get your way out of. You just have to push through the hard times, really. I mean, it's really worth it in the long run, as long as you just keep pushing sometimes, because life sucks, but you just got to pick yourself back up and keep going and approach it every day like a new day, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent piece of wisdom, and it's especially awesome that, you know, I don't know how old you are. What are you, like 19, 20?
20, yeah.
So, like, for you to have already learned that is pretty incredible.
So, thank you. I appreciate that.
A lot of people don't learn those lessons until much later in life, and some people, you know, never learn them. So
you also have to think about it, like, there's people that come from different backgrounds, you know. You never know what a person goes through until you sit down and talk to them, and that's what it ultimately comes down to, because we don't know who's been through what and what their struggle is to get to where they are today. And some people fail at life and they can't pick themselves back up, and then others do everything they can because they know they can't stop doing what they need to do due to, like, family, friends, because someone's counting on you out there. You just gotta keep pushing through, you know?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And that's a really awesome attitude to have.
Mm-hmm.
So you went through a rough patch, and then did UTI come to your school, you heard about UTI, you kind of looked into it. What made you kind of pull the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
When I graduated high school, all I did was work at ProClean for a good year. So I guess you could say I took a leap year after high school. But I got tired of, like, the same, like, thing, like cleaning cars or washing cars. And I was like, dude, I know I could be doing something more than just 10 an hour for the rest of my life, you know? So I was like, well, I could change this. If I really want to change this, I could change this. And my personal life wasn't the best at the time either. I was going through a breakup, so that wasn't cool. and then COVID hit, and that just really sucked because business slowed down a lot. And, you know, I hate to say this, but sexism is very strong in this industry sometimes. And it kind of sucked because I noticed it a lot working at a car wash. I mean, I applied at a car wash being 18 years old, working with grown men that are 60 or, you know, 30, and it's kind of nasty sometimes, and it's scary, but there's also great people out there that are not nasty, and they're not scary, but it's also a cool experience meeting the people you do just through parts, and that's the reason why I really wanted to get into auto body, is because you can meet amazing people that could give you amazing opportunities, and it's not so much about, you know, the opportunities. It's more about the connections and the people you can and the friends you can make just through cars. And that's just super awesome. I mean, that's what I think about it, though.
There is something beautiful about, you know, cars, as they do kind of bring everybody's attracted to cars, whether you're poor, you're old, you're young, you're rich. You know, everybody, if you're a car person, you're a car person through and through, and it doesn't matter how much money you have or how much whatever you have, you can, you know, you can go to any car show in America or any racetrack in America. You can stand on the sidelines and you can watch, you know, the poorest white trash hanging out with the richest, you know, millionaire, billionaire. And as long as they both have cars to talk about, then they're going to have a connection. And it's like they're, you know, all
exactly. It sucks that people are, you know, categorized into money and statistics and stuff like that, because I bet there's someone that is homeless right now due to an unpredictable time in their life, and there's a million out there that could probably be best friends because they share the same common thing, regardless if it's cars or not. But yeah, like, cars do bring a lot of, like, amazing people together where they are. I don't know if you ever watched those Netflix shows on Netflix and stuff like that, but Rusty Motors and stuff like that. I love those shows. Those shows are hilarious.
I agree. I love, I just watched Rust Valley Restoration.
Yeah, I love that show, yeah.
It's like some Canadian guy with dreadlocks, like, redoing it.
I'm like, oh, God, you know he was a hippie in the 70s. Oh, man, like, he's so funny. And his best friend, oh, they begin to some really heated arguments, and it's just like, dude, oh, my goodness. The best part about that show is that they show, like, how it really is in a shop, you know. They don't just show, like, when it's beautiful and perfect and that. They show the whole process of being angry and shit breaks and you just get mad and stuff like that, and that's the awesome thing about it, in my opinion.
I heard a great quote the other day that was, every 20 minute job is one broken bolt away from 4 hours, or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, man, that is like the truest statement.
Yeah, that's
nothing makes a day worse than when you see someone has the tap and die kit out and they're trying to, or the extractor kit, and they're trying to get something out. Oh my god. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, what were you going to say?
I was just going to ask if cars had always been something that you were into, or if,
no, not at all, by chance, actually. I mean, I always was, Volkswagens were my thing when I got my first car, and ever since I got my first car, I have been obsessed with Volkswagens. Like, I am a Volkswagen geek. So that, when I first, like, was introduced to Volkswagens, that's when I was like, okay, cars are cool, because, number one, I have my own car. And before then, I wanted to be a pilot in the Air Force, but I got a hand tattoo when I was 18, and that kind of ruined my chances. And I was like, well, I really like this tattoo, and I'm not going to get rid of it. And so I was like, well, there's other things in life than just being a pilot. But I talked about being a pilot in the Air Force for all through high school, dude. I really wanted to do that. Even though I'd never even been on a plane, I just love the idea of protecting and serving our country, because we need it right now at this point. We really do need it. I don't know if we need to save each other or what, but geez. America isn't at its best right now, that's for sure.
Well, you can definitely, well, you could always take after Jesse Combs,
who was like the fastest woman in the world, and she didn't fly, but she drove all kinds of like hyper fast jet cars and stuff, you know.
I guess you could say my family has been into cars. I mean, my dad and my grandpa and his dad, they all race cars back at home, and that was really cool thing growing up. I mean, I didn't get to see it a lot, but my mom would always tell me stories when she would go on dates with my dad and stuff, and they would go do that stuff. I'm like, oh gosh, my dad. I mean, race car drivers, that's dangerous.
What was it like moving to Texas, where you kind of, like, left everything behind? First of all, what kind of – I mean, you don't have to go into detail, but, like, I know you had a rough year,
yeah,
which kind of prompted that, I guess. But what was, like, the – what was your thought process when you were, like, okay, today's the day, like, I've made my decision. I'm going to go to Texas.
It actually was July 4th. I was really suicidal, if you want to say, and I was like, you know, I can't do that. That's not an option. So I like opened my eyes to, like, you know, the Quad Cities is more. There's more out there than just the Quad Cities. Like, I'm young. I haven't been to college yet. I haven't experienced the world. Like, what is out there that I know that I could possibly accomplished? And I was just thinking back on the paper in high school, and I was just like, dude, like, what? And so the following I don't remember what day July 4th was, but I remember later on that week I called UTI and I talked to this guy named Omar, and then he talked to me and convinced me that UTI was the option, and he really sold me on it, and I was like, this is really what I'm interested in and what I could see myself doing. So I was like, well, where are the campuses? Where can I apply? What's the next step? And, you know, when I brought it up to my mom, she was like, you're moving to Texas? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go do something. And she was like, no. And I was like, yeah, I need to go there. My name is being called. And she was like, how are you going to do that? And I'm like, well, you see, Mom, Trump helped me out a lot. So I'm going to use this money. And I'm going to use it for a good reason. So, like, I guess you could say, like, yeah, just, you know, when life sucks, you just have to figure out what can you do to better your life if it sucks so bad. So I talked to Omar about all the classes. We talked for like an hour and a half, and then I didn't think I was going to make it down here to Texas, to be honest. I have an O2 Volkswagen Jetta, and I really didn't think I was going to make it down here, and everybody else doubted it, and I'm everybody, and, you know, I don't blame them. I mean, it's an O2, it's a 20-year-old car, but, man, she is rusty on the bottom, and I don't know how she made it down here, but she did, and her name's Greta the Jetta, because she's always on the period. So I love her so much. It's a cute little car, and I'm a cute little blonde girl, so it kind of just works out pretty good.
I drive an 08 Yaris, and I'm a 250-pound 30-year-old, so
well,
I'm not
okay.
I'm not a cute little man, and I drive a cute little car.
Everybody has a car that fits them. It's kind of funny if you kind of look at a car, and you can see, like, okay, that guy would for sure drive that car. Like, you know, like, you could just imagine, like, a hillbilly driving some, you know, Ram. That's been broken down, you know, 1960 or whatever.
I used to be a personal trainer, and at that time I was really into lifting heavy and stuff. I was like 250 pounds, but I was like fairly muscular and stuff. And, you know, I would get out of my car at the gym, and people at the gym would be like, dude, you drive that? They're like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that.
And whatever makes you, whatever fits your budget, first of all, cars aren't cheap. They are not cheap.
That's the thing. It paid off. I can't even justify getting rid of it, unfortunately, as much as I would like to.
Well, I mean, at least your car's paid off. You could say that. Not a lot of people can say that. I mean, I could say that. You could say that. We should give each other a pat on the back for that, because there's people in debt because of cars.
So you made it down to Texas. You get out, and what was your first thought after you had a minute to sit back and relax and think?
So my whole process of moving down here was pretty crazy. I mean, it took 20 hours and 2 cars full of stuff to get me down here. my mom drove down here with me. We kind of followed each other back and forth. It was pretty crazy going through all those states and just realizing, oh my God, I'm not going back. not for a good while anyway. And you know, life without your friends and family, pretty sad. Not gonna lie, it sucks. But there's a lot of people out there you are just maybe supposed to meet other than what you've been surrounded around. And there's so many people in the world and so many things and so many options. And, you know, you can't, me personally, I was not a happy person living where I lived. So when I moved out here to Texas, it was just my life changed for the better. And now I'm in this routine, and it's a healthy routine. I go to class and then I come home, I eat, I go to work. Well, not right now because I'm currently unemployed, but, and then I study and I eat and I take care of myself, and weekends I hang out with my friends, and or even on the weekdays if they were free. But it's nice changing your life from, oh my God, I'm going to be late to work again, from going to my basic, 9-to-5 jobs, instead of, you know, actually chasing after something that you could see yourself doing in the future. And actually driven to do it. I'm very driven to school. And everybody here in Texas that has met me knows how driven I am. And it's just I'm here to do one thing, and that's just to become successful and then worry about, you know, the better things of life, family and friends and or family and building your own family and stuff like that. But, you know, since I'm so young, I want to grab my career by the balls and just shake the crap out of it and become successful.
And so when you did, you did already have a job in this field, right?
So I had 2 great job experiences so far living down here. I worked at Demonstron, but I got fired due to the fact of personal issues. I had a family member pass away to COVID, and it hurt really bad because I was down here when it happened, and then the holidays came up, and it was wow, this is really hard. I can't even be there with my family and friends that are grieving from this death, and they can't be with me to help me get past it. And people here, I've only known them for 4 or 5 months, so it's these people here don't know me the way people back at home know me and I grew up with. So, you know, yeah, that was really hard, and that's why I got fired, because I brought my personal life to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I'm very sorry for your loss.
It's okay. I just, you know, it sucks because it was because of COVID. But COVID does suck a lot. It affects me in my daily life. And it kind of sucks trying to get past from somebody dying from COVID, and then you have to deal with COVID on a regular basis. And, there's a lot of people my age that post memes and stuff about COVID and try to joke about COVID on social media, and it makes me I have deleted all social media lately to cleanse from how toxic it can be sometimes. And sometimes it's okay to cleanse from social media and not always be on it. But at the same time, that's what the world's surrounding around these days. And it kind of sucks because but at the same time, it's great because you meet all these new types of connections on social media. But there's also very bad toxic things on social media. But, yeah, but my second job that I got out here was at this little family shop. Super cute shop. Great people there. There's a barbecue connected to it. It's called Phil's Auto Service Shop. Something Auto and Sales Service Shop. It's really cute. There's a barbecue connected to it in the back of it that the owner has, and it's an upcoming business. But I had to walk away from that job just because they treat me as a woman than somebody's trying to learn in the body field or this field. I was first when they hired me to be a help in the shop and learn under the main mechanic. And then they were getting really sick, so they couldn't offer that position anymore for me to learn. And they had me work at the barbecue, and I wasn't on bills, so I had to say goodbye to that job. It really sucked because they were going to buy out a party shop right next to it, and I was going to work in that shop. But gotta do what you gotta do to make bills.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a tough decision that you had to make. But it sounds like you're doing what you can to, keep pushing forward and keep moving forward. And there's gonna be another job out there. There's gonna be, probably a lot of jobs between now and you. By the time you find, the perfect job for you, so, all you can do is just keep looking.
Yeah, definitely. I put job applications in little places such as like part stores and stuff like that. Discount tire and stuff like that. Just to start off little, possibly. Hopefully, I get some calls back. I plan on calling them this following week so that I can check on my applications, but. I promise you, I've done it to every job. done everything I could.
Oh, I believe you. You seem like a very driven person.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you have you applied to any body shops?
There are a few I have looked at. Sad part is about this is I'm moving from Iowa to Texas. These roads are crazy. I'm gonna say that. I'm used to two-lane road, opposite direction, and here in Texas, it's, okay, here's the highway, that's six lanes, watch out for the person next to you, and oh, don't forget that other person, better merge over to the right if you're going to go fast or slow, and oh god, it's still getting used to it, but I think I was born for Texas. I'm a pretty good driver, I guess. I get that from my dad's side. But, I don't know a whole lot of auto body shops around here. I went to a one auto body shop interview called Sunny's, and I was straight disrespected through the whole interview. The guy kind of was, it wasn't even in a private room. It was just out in the lobby, first of all. It was very unprofessional, in my opinion. And he kept asking me if I had a boyfriend. I was just like, I'm not here for that. Can you really move on? Yeah, it made me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, I would imagine. That's,
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there are still some people in all, in all industries, obviously, that are like that. However, I'll actually, after this is done, let me reach out to some people. I know a lot of women in the industry who may be able to give you some advice or maybe able to link you up with someone.
I would definitely take that into consideration. Even through school, it was really hard transition from, because it's an all-guy school, basically. There's a lot of guys I go to school with and not a lot of girls here that I go to school with other than my roommates, because I do the shared living thing through UTI, and they go to UTI, too. So that was super cool. When I moved down here, I met my roommates the same day I moved in, which was the 11th of September. Sorry, America. But it was a great day for me, terrible for history, if you want to say. But Yeah, that was pretty crazy meeting roommates from all over the world, too. Like, that's the best part about UTI is that they bring people from all over different states just to come. And that's another great thing about going UTI is meeting people from all over that are just as driven as you, or maybe not as just as driven as you, but still go to school with them. So, I mean, for me personally, the friends that I've met here and the roommates and the people, it's just, it's all a new experience that I never thought I'd be able to experience. I mean, for a good, like, month that I lived here, I woke up and I was like, oh, shit, I'm not in Iowa anymore.
Have you heard of the Instagram page Girls Behind the Gun?
No, not at all.
That's, there's a, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I believe that the person who runs that page owns a all-female body shop in Canada. And she also, like, has this Girls Behind the Gun page where she specifically, like, you know, promotes women who are in the field, in the industry.
Wow.
So she may be a cool person to reach out to and talk to and see if.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to get her connects after the podcast. But yeah, that honestly, that's great that there's women out there like me and just as driven. And I didn't even know that was a thing until now. My mom, actually, I have an idea for my own shop one day, and it's kind of cute. My last name is Kennedy, so there's shops out there called Kennedy's Auto Service or whatever, Auto Body, but mine would be called Kennedy's Daughter Auto Body Shop / shop. And, I mean, I kind of want my shop to be a mix between a coffee shop and a custom body shop. I thought that'd be really cute combined, and it would bring a lot of different perspectives because I want the two to collide at the same time but have their own individualized service, if that makes sense.
That's a really cool idea.
Thank you.
They're like kind of the guys like Ed Roth and George Barris and stuff, like art used to be a huge part of the car scene. And while there is still an aspect of art to, like, the car scene, if you know what you're looking for, the, like, mainstream art car kind of connection is lost. We don't really see a lot of, you know, daily driver art cars anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, Ed Roth used to drive his, I don't know if you know who that is, but he was, like, he made, you know who Rat Fink is?
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm sure you'll learn about him. He's probably like the most famous body man ever, except for me.
I'll probably talk about after this podcast, because 90% of the time when I listen to your podcast, I'm like, ooh, who's this? I'm going to look it up on my interweb. I'm always studying, because whenever I listen to your podcast, I'm always either making breakfast and studying, or I'm at work, or, you know, I listen to your podcast when I'm trying to stay busy throughout my day. And when I get really curious, there's a few people you've had on your podcast that I've just, like, the things they have said, I have taken note of, like, things like, oh, what was that one guy's name?
That's awesome. That makes me so happy to hear.
Yeah. He invented the tool, your first podcast.
My very first one? Oh, Tim Briggs, the inventor of the tape thing?
Yeah, he said something about failing, and I really took that into perspective because when I failed two of my classes after being fired and my family member dying, I failed two classes at school, and one of them was welding, and I retook that class, and I passed with an 80%, but the
first time...
class, I failed it by 1 point. So that really sucked. And when he said something about failing, it really inspired me to, you know, it's okay to fail. It's going to happen. You just have to keep pushing forward and learn from your mistakes. And I really, really love that he said that because I did just that. And I was just like, it's okay to fail, you know, like you got to live and learn type of thing.
I think what's really interesting about you and what you're doing is that I think that a lot of times trade shops and trade schools and like the learning the teaching aspect of auto body and mechanics and all of kind of the automotive field is it's sort of dependent upon people having done this work for like at least playing around with it for a lot of their life. Where you, that's not something that you did. I think it's really rad that you're kind of like, I feel like you're not coming in at a disadvantage, but you're coming in a position where, like they did, I don't feel as though that school is designed, that is designed for you just because I feel like they don't, I feel like most people going into it. Does that make sense?
Where you're coming from. Yeah.
So like, I feel like most people who are going into this kind of school had probably used a welder before where you never had, you probably had never, seen a welder before.
Yeah, definitely.
So to kind of go in and overcome that, I think is really awesome. And I think that it's probably a learning experience for most of your teachers too.
Yeah. A lot of students that I actually have class with have done auto body work or any type of experience, or they've been in shops. I mean, they're also guys, and not to be sexist or anything, but sometimes in this field, guys have the upper advantage due to experience, or they grew up around it versus myself. I have not grew up around it. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I ask questions, and I'm very, very, very particular on how I learn. I mean, not particular, but I learn in a different way. I have learning disorders. And so it's kind of hard for me to learn at the same pace as others because people have either experienced with this kind of stuff or they kind of learn to it faster than I do. And it sucks because then it gives me more of a disadvantage to pass these classes because I don't know what I'm doing and this isn't really probably the best way to learn it, but it gives you the basics of what you're going to be dealing with in the future. And
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, if I would have known, like, custom body paint is what I really, really was intrigued about it, then I probably should have opened my eyes to other, like, colleges that are specifically just for that, not so much, like, the whole rundown, but this college provides more than just paint, and I'm also, like, intrigued by that because if I need to do a quick side job, I'll be like, well, I know how to weld this, and I know how to weld that, and I know how to bend metal, and I know how to refinish use in pieces and stuff like that. So, like, that's an upper hand about UTI. And another thing that I like about UTI is the NASCAR program, and I actually thought about going into that after I have experience in the auto body industry. But the thing is with that, you want to go into your next field right away because it's cheaper, or else that's what I've heard. I haven't really looked into it in depth, but it would make sense because then you wouldn't be paying like $80,000 in student loans after stopping school and starting school again for a whole different subject. But then again, I didn't look into the numbers, so I could be wrong.
Being a NASCAR mechanic would be wild. I can't imagine how cool that would be.
But then again, you gotta think COVID, NASCAR is not up and running right now, so that's what kind of sucks. And with whole COVID, that sucks in school. Our hours in school have been cut by 3 hours because before COVID, class was 6 hours long. Now COVID is 3 hours long. And it's also different for each, field. So just welding, my roommate, she's in welding, and she goes from 12 to 5 or 12 to 4 versus I go to class from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. And that also butts into my time to possibly have a job because a lot of jobs are like, you got to be here by 7 a.m. or you got to be here by, and it sucks because I have to get up early in the morning, so I can't work late night shifts because I have to have enough rest for school in the morning. And it really sucks so much. But, you got to take what you can get from it, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do. And
I can tell you as someone as someone who has failed almost every class they ever took in his entire life, I can tell you that you're going to learn a lot in school, and then you're going to get into the field, and it's going to be completely different.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, if I was you and I knew for sure that body and paint was what I wanted to do, you know, Bondo's cheap, tape's cheap. You can go pick up a couple rolls of tape, and you can spend a couple hours taping up your car and then just take it off. You know, like, these are the skills. These are, like, kind of the hard skills that you need to be successful in the industry, knowing how to prep something, knowing how to tape something, knowing how to spray it, knowing how to bond to it, knowing how to switch parts out. You can do all of that, you know what I mean? Like, on your own car.
Definitely. The only issue with that is that I live in an apartment complex. That's with the school that's shared living. And, oh, my God, there are so many UTI idiot students that live in this apartment complex. It's annoying because then everybody seems to be like they're in trouble with UTI. Like, we get text messages about kids revving their cars, and they do, and it's so annoying. But it ruins the chances for people that actually want to do stuff outside that doesn't involve looking like an asshole and sounding like, you know, like, I get it. You have a cool car, vroom, vroom. But come on, bro. Like, you've lived here for a few months now. Get over yourself.
Time and place.
But it sucks not having that space, you know, like the garage space to do that. And
for sure.
That's what you need. You need to learn in a garage, because that's where you're going to do most of your work, is in a garage. And over Christmas, my stepdad, he bought me tools, and that's pretty cool. I haven't had my own set of tools, so for sure. I mean, like I said, not having a job sucks, because I can't go out and, like, buy, like, little tools that I need or parts for my car that I can learn to put on myself or whatever I feel like doing. But, yeah, definitely, I definitely can see myself doing that. I definitely have a vision of rebuilding my car. I've talked about it for months now, but that'd be really cool, because, like I said, the bottom of it's all rusted, and I want to just rebuild the whole thing. I think that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. I think, you know, I'm sure that by the time you're finished with school, you'll easily be able to do that. Do they let you work on your car at the school, or what? They probably
Man,
don't
I'm
now
really...
because of COVID, huh?
No, even before COVID, they didn't let us do that. And I heard one of the guys on your podcast, he went to a custom body paint school, and he got to work on his car in school. And I was so jealous when I heard that. I was doing my makeup and getting ready for work, and I was like, no way. You are so lucky your instructor let you do that, because our instructors are just, you know, the school is set up specifically for those subjects we're learning, and that's what I love about it, because, like, when you go to a welding class, you're working on, like, there's separate welders for everybody, and they take COVID very seriously, and that's one thing that I appreciate about UTI, that, you know, they take temperatures every morning, and they give us wristbands, and the wristbands are pretty cool. I look through the holidays. I saved my wristbands, and I kind of want to do a project with it when I graduate.
What are the wristbands for? They just tell you that you're okay to be there?
Yeah, basically you have to go in every day before class, get your temperature taken, be asked if have you had any symptoms in the last 14 days, blah, blah, blah. And then they take your temperature, you get your wristband, and you go to class, and you go on about your day. I mean, yeah, it sucks, and you have to wear a mask every day, too. That, man, safety glasses and masks, they do not go well together.
It's good for you. You should wear a mask.
Yeah, I got a cute little daisy mask, and it's black. I got it at, what is that boot store called? Calvinders or Cavenders?
Oh, I was thinking you were talking about a dust mask.
A what? No. Yeah,
I figured
yeah.
You just wore dust masks.
Yeah, we wear our P100s, but when we're working around, like, chemicals, but no, like the COVID mask.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we have to wear those every day to class. Otherwise, you can't come to class. Which makes sense. You got to keep your distance from people.
Yeah. Are you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The classes, like with the students, has been cut down enormously too. It used to be like 30 people, but now they only allow 12 in the classroom at a time. So, I mean, that makes me feel safer, but technically we're not supposed to be exposed to that many people as is, but, you know, you can only do so much with so many people, if that makes sense.
I gotcha.
I kind of like the whole 12 people idea, because you get more one-on-one time with your instructor, and that's one
thing.
That's
what I was going to say.
Yeah.
It kind of works out, because you kind of get more time with the instructor, although you probably have less time to...
Yep.
Like, kind of experiment, yeah, and work by yourself.
3 hours is not a very long time when you're trying to get to know something you never worked with before.
No, it's not. I mean, if you think I've been doing this now for 15 years at 40 hours a week, at least. I was doing more like 60 hours a week for the first 5 or 6 years, probably.
Do you feel like this career is something you don't feel like you're actually working though? You're just passionate about?
Yes and no. I mean, so I just did the math real quick. I've been doing this for over 30,000 hours, 31,200 hours. That's what I'm doing autobotics.
Wow.
I would say yes and no. I mean, there's definitely times when I'm working, like when you're standing, you know, I work on big trucks. So it's like,
yeah,
when I'm working on a truck after like, you know, 6 hours of standing a dump truck, I'm not feeling overly passionate.
I mean, that kind of comes with any job. If you're standing and you're constantly working your upper body and your lower body, I mean, even as a detailer, it may not seem like working at a car wash, it may not seem like a busy job, but the one that I worked at, it was like 600 to 800 cars came through a day to wash their car. We would vacuum their cars, you know, clean the inside. And you'd have to clean the inside at a certain amount of time. And when you're just standing and you're constantly moving all day, I mean, yeah, you're going to get tired or you're going to be like, oh, man, I just need a break. But that's the part about working that I love at the same time, because I'm like, I need a break, but look at all this work that can get done, and you just train by it. At least that's how I feel anyway.
One thing I will say is that pretty much every job that leaves the shop, I still like take a minute to stop and like admire it. Like I'm still,
yeah,
like that, yes, final product. Like I am still like feel so much pride and so much just like happiness to see it finished, you know?
Yes. And I cannot wait for that moment. I may not be the perfect version that I could see in my head, but watching myself, because I liked detailing when I did it. I really did. And when I like went and cleaned a disgusting car, and then when I was finished with it, I was like, dang, that wax job is amazing. And look at the inside. Oh my God. Like, I love cars, waxing cars, from like seeing the paint being all rough, and then when it's done and shiny and the tire shines on, it's just like, dang, I did that. Like, I'm walking away from it, you feel so accomplished, and then the customers are just like, thank you so much, this changed my life. And you're like, I know how you feel, I need to clean my car.
I know, but I don't know if it's like this in detailing, but my car needs like all kinds of body work, and I'm at the end of the day, I'm just like, there's no way I'm doing more.
Oh, yeah, especially when it comes down to your own vehicle. You're just like, screw that. I just worked on one car all day. Like, screw that. It'd be a really cool accomplishment if you were to do that to your own car.
I used to detail cars at Budget Rent-A-Car, and we didn't do real detailing. We kind of, like, wiped them down and just vacuumed them out, filled them with gas, and brought them back around. We got, like, maybe 10, 15 minutes to clean a car. But
experience that I had, that's cool.
Yeah. I'm sure I didn't do anything nearly like what you did. We just had to, because most of the cars that came through were getting detailed fairly regularly because they were just rentals. Occasionally though, we would get a like real, real bad car. There's this one that I remember, and it was like the guy I don't know what, if like a perfume, or like a perfume bottle, or like a cologne bottle had like exploded inside the car. Like there was like perfume, like all of like the change holders and the doors and stuff were all full of like perfume.
Sticky and stuff. Oh,
yeah, it was awful. And that was probably the dirtiest car I've ever seen in my life. It was disgusting.
Oh man, I've cleaned some dirty, dirty, nasty cars in my lifetime. I'll tell you, a farm truck and a really bad van. Those are the ones. I'd rather clean a farm truck over a family van. I hate cleaning. Vans have too many holes and crevices and things that can get into it. But I prefer trucks over vans anyway. I mean, it personally, me, I'm a Volkswagen and Ram and Dodge fan. I mean, I don't know what it is. But Ford's cool, but I don't know.
Whoa. All right, podcast over.
I like Broncos. I like the old versions. I mean,
what do you think of the new Broncos?
They're okay. They're not bad.
You don't have to lie just because I just called you out. It's okay.
No, man. I really love classic cars. If it really comes down to it, I love the old 70s vehicles and all the old 40s and 60s. White wall tires, anything to do with that and have to do with like cars on the notebook and stuff like that. Man, I get all sappy and like I fall in love type of thing. But yeah, that would be super cool one day if I could personally fix up my own.
You could totally do that.
Definitely.
I saw you were eyeing that Beetle. You were eyeing a Beetle for a while.
A Beetle? Oh yeah. Yeah, at work? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I think it was next to your work, right?
Yeah, it was at the shop, actually, at Phil's shop. Yeah. They only wanted $1,500 for it, too. And I was like, ah, god damn. I was so... If I had a garage and I had my own, like, setup, man, I would have snagged that car and fixed it up. But I definitely want to fix up an old 70s car and turn it into a... remodel it. That'd be honestly a dream of mine that I've always thought about, and I've bragged and talked to about my friends. I'm like, dude, let's fix up a hippie car and travel. Wouldn't that be so cool? Like, make it modern but keep that, you know, old industry in it still. That'd be so cool.
One of the nice things about bodywork is there's always, you can always, I mean, there was at one time, like, being a body man would be like almost like a traveling profession. Like they would just like kind of come into town, they'd have their tools, they'd stay for a few weeks, they'd work, and then they'd kind of like hit the road and move on.
Yeah, that would be like a dream come true for me. Like taking my van and going on a mountain and having a picnic, that would be so cool. Or like stuff like that, or like in the middle of Canada, just watching there's these cool pictures on Pinterest, because I always look on Pinterest, and I follow a bunch of Facebook pages with Volkswagens, and there's this cool picture on Pinterest where the person, this couple took, what are those TV things on the sheet? Projector. And they went on a date, and I was like, oh my god, that's super cool, and they had it on the van. I'm like, dude, I would do something like that. That'd be such a cool thing to do. But,
I'm curious what do you think our industry can do to make it more interesting for younger people your age to kind of start getting into?
You know, but it sucks, but people my age personally don't enjoy cars as much. They see it as a price tag these days. At least that's what I can see. A lot of the people that I come across, like I said, because it is a man's world in a way it is. All my friends that talk about cars are guys. Like, I don't meet a lot of girls my age that talk about cars the way I talk about cars. I've never surrounded around myself around people like that either, or been exposed to girls like myself that are so interested in cars the way I am. And a lot of my guy friends, you know, they grew up around it, and their dads grew up around it, and you know, they're all intrigued by the same thing. But for girls, personally, it's different. Like, you don't see a lot of girls these days. They're models and they're nurses and they're, you know, they're doing what girls do. I don't know, doing hair or something. You know, me personally, I could give a shit less if I have my nails done next week. I'm feminine, but I'm not one to sit here and talk about my hair for 12 hours. But I could talk about cars all day, though. I mean, that's because I know nothing about them and I want to work on them for the rest of my life. And that's probably the best part about this experience, is just learning every day something new, because I don't know what I'm doing. And, like, the fact is, like, when I finish learning all the things that I need to learn, then I can just learn how to do it in my own way. And that's the best part about the whole thing, this whole experience, going to UTI and working as a woman in this industry, is just seeing myself create great things, because I know I'm capable of it. I mean, look at what I've been capable of so far. I mean, not everybody can move away from their family and friends just to chase after a dream. So, you know.
That's absolutely true. I think, you know, most people, myself included, I mean, I've never left my home state. I've been outside New England like 3 times maybe. I'm not very well traveled. But,
wow.
You know, it takes a lot of guts to do something like that. And I can tell kind of the way that you brought your mom up a few times earlier, like it sounds like you and her were pretty close, or are pretty close.
Oh, yeah. My mom and I went through hell and back growing up, and she was a single mom. My dad and her, I never grew up with parents together in the same household. I guess I was unfortunate with the whole family idealistic, but, you know, my mom, she is the hardest worker I know. You know, she literally went from not having any credit and working from check to tips, you know, type of thing, and seeing someone as you grow up go from not having anything to being married and working at a construction company at 40-something, you know, like, that was amazing. Because my mom, she didn't have the best life growing up, but she made the most out of it growing up as an adult. And watching her go through so many struggles as an adult and a mother and as herself and as a woman, it was hard, but it was so inspiring for me personally. I have a sister, and she didn't get to grow up around my mom the way I got to. I was the baby, if you want to say. It's so hard for my mom to, you know, not have me in the house anymore, because I never not lived with my mom. So me moving to Texas was a whole different experience, because I'm living on my own for the first time, and I'm living away from her, and I'm living away from everything I know. But she is a rock star, and we went through a rough patch, but, you know, what teenage daughter and mother doesn't. I probably went through rougher patches than most teenage girls, but we got through it.
That's awesome. That's great that you have a good person that you can depend on, you know? I feel like that's super important, especially when you are so far away and, like, when you don't see each other. When you don't see people you know every day, it can get to where it can be hard to make time to talk to people, you know what I mean, when you're that far away. I mean, granted, it's your mom, so it's not like she's going anywhere, right? But
right.
When you
It's also
aren't...
hard. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
It's also hard, like, personally for me, like, my mom isn't at the best of health, and, you know, with COVID going around and everything, it scares me, because she is, COVID targets, like, people with, who are older and who can't keep up with their health. And, you know, she's at good health right now, but she's getting older, you know, and it scares me, like, one day, oh my God, my mom's not going to be around. And, you know, as cheesy as that sounds, it really sucks, like, thinking about it that way. But being distant from everybody is also very eye-opening. You learn who you are when you've been surrounded around the same people your whole life versus when I learned who I am when I moved down here, and it's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me ever. And as a person in general, you know, growing up and everything, but you have to make life decisions based on what you think is best for yourself. And growing up and then moving away is typical for people, and growing up, and when it actually happens to you, you're like, oh God, this is a feeling I don't want to feel.
Well, Carissa, thank you so much for coming on. I can tell that you are going to be absolutely awesome at this, and I really admire your drive and your, you know, your bravery about leaving and going and trying something new and just to chase a dream. I think that's really rad.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
Have a wonderful night.
You too. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the episode today, guys. I really appreciate it. If you could do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on Apple, I would really appreciate it. And do me another favor. And if you know anyone in the Texas area looking for a body shop apprentice, hit me up and I will put you in contact with Carissa. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.